We are gathered here because on September 21st, 1976, a couple of brutal killers tried to leave their own mark on this spot. But over the past 34 years, we've taken it back. We've taken this little traffic circle with a statue of the obscure Civil War general, and we've made it into our place. Our place for remembering Orlando Letelier and Ronnie Carpent Moffat, and for renewing our commitment to human rights and justice. I'm Sarah Anderson with the Institute for Policy Studies. I want to thank you all for coming and for being a part of this history. It's long, it's painful, but it's also inspiring, and it's still unfolding. And now I would like to invite the Reverend Sheila McCurdy to offer an invocation. She is part of our broader IPS family because she's the mother of our racial inequality expert, Diedrich Muhammad. So it's really a pleasure to have Sheila here.
Let us pray. Creator God, on this day of remembrance, we lift up the lives of all those who have suffered and died in the struggle for justice. We thank you for the wholeness of the human family, for people of all faiths and cultures, for the rich variety of experience and the gifts we bring to one another when we meet in a spirit of acceptance and love, for dialogue in community and between nations, and for mutual enrichment and growing understanding, for movements to establish and sustain the legitimate rights of all persons to food, shelter, employment, education, health care, respect, and dignity. And we pray to you that all people may enjoy the freedom to set forth their convictions with integrity and to listen to one another in humility. We ask that each of us may live as reconcilers and peacemakers in a world divided by suspicion and misunderstanding, bringing healing to those places where intolerance fractures human community. Guide us as we make decisions daily that affect the lives of so many people in this world. And on this day, renew our commitment to the liberation of all humankind. Amen.
Our first speaker is Claudio Grossman, Dean of the Washington College of Law at American University. He's also been the heads of the UN Committee on Torture, the College of the Americas, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights.
I would like to begin on a personal note. It's emotional to me for me to be here because I knew Orlando Letelier personally. If Orlando could be here today, accompanied by Ronnie Carpent Moffat, who I did not have the good fortune of knowing, he would be proud and happy to see all of us here. And he would be thrilled to learn that the truth of the violations of human rights in Chile came to light. He would certainly value that the military dictatorship ended with a successful transition to democracy. He will be happy to know that all the attempts to silence the violations of human rights failed, and that impunity and amnesty laws for perpetrators of international crimes, both in Chile and the hemisphere, were rejected. None of the democratically elected presidents of Chile, Elwin, Frei, Lagos, Bachelet, and Piñera, has accepted putting a punto final to international crimes. For example, President Piñera recently rejected a proposal to pardon those who had committed such crimes in Chile. In the hemisphere, the example of the struggle of Letelier and Ronnie Moffat Cotton. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights, for example, created a rich jurisprudence designed to achieve full compliance with the applicable norms of international human rights law. The struggle to achieve truth in the case, the assassination of Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt, stands for an example that we reject these attempts to silence those who want clarity and truth, also when terrorist attacks are committed. Change is needed, like the change that Letelier and Ronnie Moffitt aspired for, a change based in the human rights tradition, in tolerance, in pluralism, a change based in the idea that we should expand freedom, and in the rejection of military vanguards or political leaders who claim to speak on society's behalf while destroying the very institutions required for the development of everyone. We must be mindful in our vigilance to ensure that we can develop those societies by ensuring that history is told, that truth cannot be swept under the rug. History has never been about the past. That's why we fight passionately about history. History has always been about the future. Orlando, his voice was a voice of optimism and faith in the future and in the role that we can play in shaping it. Today, his voice and the spirit of Ronnie Moffitt resonate more powerfully than ever, as part of a present and as part of a reality that becomes richer every day. Thank you very much.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Dean Grossman. We've asked Saul Landau to come and share some of his own reflections about Ronnie. Saul is a longtime IPS fellow. He also, for I don't know how many years, has written a poem to be shared at this program, which is always a treat. So please welcome Saul Landau.
Okay, I call the poem this year, Routine Demons. And the dead receive more love, tears of memory, sweet thought, emotions that elude the living, abstract benefits of eternal cold. During their last mourning as themselves, before eternal banishment to Auden's limestone landscape, they chatted, laughed, and did not stop for death that day. Two cars ahead, the eager driver felt a rush. His partner pressed a button, then another. The driver had miles to go, promises to keep, used car to sell. Those men who knew that life was not cheap. They felt no remorse for the living. Their customers, victims on car lots, Capitol Boulevards, just a job to do. I rarely think of aging killers strutting in balmy climates, listening to hot salsa. Do they imagine the morning's mist? Imagine lifeless forms that night, or was it two, when death unkindly stopped for them and demons seized my dreams? Thank you.
Thank you, Saul. next speaker is the nephew of Orlando Letelier, the son of his sister, the great crusader for justice, Fabiola Letelier. He's also the head of the Latino Federation of Greater Washington, which works to empower the local Latino community. And I can't help but think his uncle would be very proud of him. Please welcome Rodrigo Leyva.
I want to thank Sarah Anderson and IPS for inviting me to speak today. On the eve of the 34th anniversary of Ronnie and Orlando's assassination, this morning, I would like to give voice to Christian Letelier, eldest son of Orlando, Fabiola Letelier, his sister, and a few stanzas from a poem by Inés del Solar, Orlando's mother. From Christian Letelier, eldest son of Orlando, he writes, "Dear friends of Ronnie, Orlando, and the IPS, as we commemorate the 34th anniversary of Ronnie and Orlando's death, your continued presence here at Sheridan Circle on or around the 21st of September brings great joy to my family's heart. It is never easy to lose a loved one. As time goes on, there's a tendency to lose sight of what Ronnie and Orlando stood for: human rights and dignity for all. These are timeless values that are ever more important in today's society. Your presence here at Sheridan Circle is a beacon for all, and especially for our youth, who one day must carry on the torch. I am sad that I cannot be here today with you, and would like to ask all of you to place a flower where Ronnie and Orlando died. On behalf of my brothers, Jose, Francisco, Juan Pablo, and Isabel, my mother, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and may God bless you." From Fabiola Letelier, who I'm proud to say is my mother, she wanted me to share the following thoughts with you. That even though that in 1995, the Chilean Supreme Court sentenced Manuel Contreras, head of DINA, and Pedro Octavio Espinosa, their sentences were nominal, 7 to 6 years, respectively. The majority of those responsible for this international terrorist act were not prosecuted. Fabiola and a fellow lawyer, Sergio Corralán, and Jose Letelier, son of Orlando, as a litigant, have recently obtained an important judicial victory in the Berríos case. This opens a window for having Letelier case, among others, to be open to further investigation, whereby it opens the possibility for additional prosecutions for those that are guilty. At 87, my mother truly is a force of nature. She is keeping her promise to her parents that she would bring to justice all those who had a hand in the death of Orlando. By my mother's request, she had asked me to read a few stanzas from a poem of Orlando's mother. This poem she wrote when Orlando was in prison in Dawson Island, and it was titled, "My Son." I'm sorry, it's in Spanish for those that are not Spanish speakers. Se llama Hijo Mío. Y solo Dios en su bondad divina juzgará que tu gesto al entregarte por entero a esta tierra que tú amaste era inspirado por un noble ideal. Lo diste todo, no pediste nada, con la mano abierta y corazón entero, un presente magnífico y valiente, arrojaste a la vara del sendero por servir a tu Chile, bien amado, y por ver en cada hombre compañero. Sé que de esta dura prueba saldrá, si ello es posible, más humano. Porque el dolor, como el fuego sagrado, te hará aún más fuerte, más purificado, y habrá una mañana esplendorosa y claro. Se cubrirán de flores los caminos, y rodeado de amor y canciones, caminarás confiado en tu destino, porque los hombres como tú, hijo mío, jamás serán vencidos. And finally, on behalf of my family, I do want to thank the presence of Chilean Ambassador Arturo Fernando Boringer. We really appreciate that his presence here today. It's important that in a democracy that we all remember our history, as painful as it may be. Muchísimas gracias.
Just a few words from Ariel Dorfman from a speech he gave where he described being at a party in Chile where he saw Orlando and Isabel dancing together. We could not stop the general's men from shattering the legs that had danced that night. We could not stop the general's men from destroying the lips that had sung the tango. We are not the lords of death to decide who lives and who dies. But we are the ones who give meaning to that death. We are the guardians of that life and that memory. We can choose whether to allow that man to die over and over again as we forget him, or whether we can turn that death into life, into justice, into the dance that Orlando can no longer dance with us. Thank you again for coming. And now, as we get to enjoy more music from Patricio, I would invite you to come up and take a flower to lay on the memorial. Thank you.
Si se calla el cantor, calla la vida, porque la vida misma es todo un canto. Si se calla el cantor, muere de espanto la esperanza, la luz y la alegría. Si se calla el cantor, se quedan solos los humildes gorriones de los diarios. Los obreros del puerto se persignan. ¿Quién habrá de luchar por su salario? ¿Qué ha de ser de la vida si el que canta no levanta su voz en las tribunas? Por el que sufre, por el que no hay ninguna razón que lo condene a andar sin manta. Si se calla el cantor, muere la rosa. ¿De qué sirve la rosa sin el canto? Debe el canto ser luz sobre los campos, iluminando siempre a los de abajo. Que no calle el cantor, porque el silencio cobarde apaña la maldad que oprime. Y no saben los cantores de agachadas, no callarán jamás de frente al crimen. Que se levanten todas las banderas cuando el cantor se plante con su grito. Que mil guitarras desangren en la noche una inmortal canción al infinito. Si se calla el cantor, calla la vida. Thank you.